HD Smartcast. You are listening to Health Shots brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello everyone. Welcome back to She Slays. We are back this week with another health champion story. Before we get to the story, we hope that you are all at home, safe and well protected from the coronavirus. And as promised, we are bringing another story for you that motivates you, inspires you, and keeps your spirits up. Today, we are in conversation with 27-year-old Ritika Trehan, somebody who has experienced borderline personality disorder that further led to depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, and obsessive-compulsive disorder. Ritika took the course of therapy to not only rebuild her mental health, but also strengthen it. Come, let's listen to her story.
Hi, I'm Ritika Trehan. I'm 27 years old. I am a writer by heart, Dandelions' person by profession, and a very strong advocate of mental health. Currently, I am fighting PTSD, borderline personality disorder, anxiety, depression, and OCD. Yes, I know it sounds really heavy. So my childhood was a mixture of bitter and sweet. It was full of love from my parents and my younger siblings. And bitter because I had to encounter sexual abuse at the age of 6 and at the age of 13, which did leave a lot of unwanted marks in my memory and in my growth as a person. Both the sexual abuses were from family members. The first one, very frankly, I was, I think, 5 or 6 years old, and it was even hard for me to articulate what this is. I was too small to understand that. And it's always difficult to communicate such things with your parents. You know, there is this persona that I had, responsible adult, will take care of everything. That was my persona as a child. So it becomes difficult to tell them that this has happened. And the second time when it happened, again, a family member. And this time I was more informed and I tried to fight back also, but couldn't do much. The definition for my childhood would be bittersweet. It had a lot of love. It had a lot of sweetness also in it. The love and sweetness came from my family. I have amazing parents. I have 2 younger siblings. They're amazing. They're my best friends. They're my pillars. And yes, they've been a constant support for me since forever, I guess. So my teenage years were tricky, very tricky. As a student, I was the perfect student. I was nominated for the captain of my house. I did great in academics. So anything you wanted from a student, you got it from me. So I was a great student. But interpersonal relationships were always very difficult for me because of the combination of what happened in my childhood and what I have as an illness, borderline personality disorder. In this illness, what happens? You have a very black and white world, right? You either love somebody too much or you hate somebody too much. There is no in between. Plus, you're very empathetic, which is a good quality, but it's also a very tricky quality in BPD. By empathy, what I mean is that if my best friend is not talking to me in the same tone as she was talking to me yesterday, I will catch it. I will catch it and I will torture my mind with questions like, what have I done? I must have done something. I am the reason that she's behaving like this. Oh my God, she's going to leave me. She's not going to be my best friend. And I used to kill myself and suffocate myself with that. Because of all of this, I had very limited friends. When it came to forming relationships, I was an introvert. My then boyfriend, he was there in my class 11-12, he was there in my college, he was there in my MBA, so he was there all around. I started dating this person, I was 16. This relationship started off well, it had a lot of love, a lot of respect, but then there was a lot of physical abuse, there was a lot of emotional abuse, gaslighting to be particular, there was a lot of verbal abuse, and lastly, the thing that really sort of put the mark on the stone was sexual abuse. So this relationship was a huge part of my college life. And if I have to say it correctly, I did not have a college life. I just had a relationship with this person. And I had nothing apart from that. I wasn't supposed to go out. I wasn't supposed to talk to people, especially guys. You can't even imagine the amount of restrictions and the amount of nature of possessiveness that was there. And but I was dedicated. I loved him and I wanted to make it work. So I did make it work in whatever ways possible. But eventually, when I reached my MBA, I realized that this is it. This is it. This is it. I have to get out no matter what happens to me after getting out. So there were a lot of threats, right? If you leave, this will happen. If you leave, this will happen. One fine day, I just stopped giving a damn to those threats and I stepped out. And that was when I was 23. Yes. My diagnosis. It happened in 2017, August. And the reason why I went for medical help, this thought of not living, this thought of killing myself started becoming very strong, very strong. I also was doing a lot of substance abuse. They were just coping mechanisms, very unhealthy coping mechanisms. And I just felt that I want to die. I had many suicidal attempts that were failed. And that's when I realized that this is going out of hand. So I met my first psychiatrist. She helped me a lot. And that's how my story of diagnosis began. She's the first person who diagnosed me with borderline personality and PTSD. When you have BPD, depression is something that follows with it. It's like a take one, get another free. So is anxiety. Take one, get another free. So BPD, depression, anxiety, they work together. So that has pretty much been my journey with my illnesses. Most of the people around have a lot of confusion about this disorder and don't understand it completely. But borderline personality disorder basically means emotional dysregulation. I do not know how to handle my emotions. So if I am angry, I'll be super angry. If I'm sad, I'll be depressed. Not sad, depressed. If I am happy, then I'll be really happy. This change of emotions happens really very frequently. My whole body used to ache just because of anxiety. This is known as psychosomatic. So when your mental pain basically becomes your physical pain. There were times when I would really just be on the floor, sob, and beg to end my life. There were times I got so angry, I thrashed plates, thrashed things, shouted, abused my husband, abused my mom, because I had no control. And I did a lot of self-harm also, self-cutting. And it's not me who's choosing to do this. That is the difference that everybody needs to understand. My illness is not me. Whatever I do because of it is not who I am. When we dug a little deeper onto what's going on in my mind, we found that there is this huge trauma of theirs, of that relationship that is just stuck there and that needs to heal. That's where my PTSD came from. But there were a lot of times during the relationship when he hit me, and sometimes he hit me in the car with a slap or bashed my head on the window. A year and a half back, when I used to sit in cars, my hands started trembling and I started getting anxious. And I couldn't figure out what the fuck is wrong. I've always been in cars. What's wrong now? We then found the link that it was because of that trauma that today when I'm sitting in the car, I am not feeling safe. And that's where my anxiety is getting triggered. Coming to the positive part, my recovery. So I had two psychiatrists. Psychiatrists, they help you with the medications. And then I have a therapist. She has been a great help for me. And she's been really, really helpful to sort of unwind and unfurl all the thoughts in my head and give me strategies to cope different things. Recovery is still ongoing. I would not say that I've recovered. That's why I like to call myself a warrior. I'm still fighting. I started meditating. I think that really, really helps you. It's not easy. It's tough. Second, I have stopped alcohol. I have also made a slight change in my day-to-day activities. So everything is very scheduled now. So I have a breakfast, I have lunch, I have dinner, no more skipping meals, no more no sleep. I sleep on the proper time. I make sure I get a proper sleep. All of these little things, they add on to your recovery. If anyone out there is going through a mental health problem, first thing, it gets better. Second, please reach out for help. There is nothing wrong. Please reach out for help. People who are in trapped, abusive relationships, if you are there, you can break the trap. And the way to break the trap is bring your close people in the relationship. Talk to your people. Talk to your circle apart from your partner. Build that network. Build that strength. Abuse is something that you can break. You just need a little support. That's it.
So this was Ritika's story. Somebody who has advocated for mental health and also fought for it to eventually emerge stronger. Mental health is not something that you can cure or take care of only for one day. It's an ongoing process. And I thank Ritika to educate us about the importance of mental health and why and how we need to prioritize it on a daily basis. And with this, we come to the end of today's chapter. We hope that the story filled your day with hope and inspired you to share your story as well. If you too identify as a health champion, then do write to us at healthshots@hindustantimes.com. And we would love to tell your story to the world. This is Chayat Abbas, your host, signing off. I will see you next week with another story. Till then, take care of yourself and stay indoors. Bye-bye.
You were listening to Health Shots, brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.